Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I am Rob Dukes from Generation Kill, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hey, it's Mark Striegel. Welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal podcast. We're going to get into the episode in just a moment, but before we do that, we are going to thank everyone on Patreon. If you don't want to hear everyone who supports me on Patreon, if you don't want to hear their names, there's a little thing there that you can skip ahead on your Apple Podcast app or however you're listening to that. So I don't want to hear complaints about this because these are the most important people to this show. Adrian Cusick, Dane Damage, Madison Hatter, Seth B., Alan Janssen, Hank Reeves, John Simpson, Huckney Jacobson, John Barron, Ed Ferguson, Denny Striegel, Patrick Sabin, Jerry from Salt Lake City, Blue Walsh 21, Victor Guzman, Glenn Watson, Joey Vancherry, Gene Eugene DX, Sean Richmond, Mario Charance, Andrew Miller, Jeremy Weltman, Chris Riley, Johan Erdestrom, Stephen Rodriguez, Tommy Anderson, Gregory Muse, Kenny McCrimmon, Leo Shaben, aka Leo from Alaska, Brad Dahl from Yarg Metal. If you don't have the Yarg radio app, get it. Man, such good music streaming on that thing. Dan Gerwan. Hey, Dan, I sent you a little DM on Patreon. Never heard back from you. Hope you're doing well, man. Jerry from Long Island, Sam Soupy, Drake, Matt Carroll, Joe Ryan, Jason Seth, Steven Saylor, Ron Keel, Jean-Francois Blah, Anthony Mackey, James Bennett, David Gray, Fred Rutz, Michael Street, Mike Jones, Steve Hoker, John Bavari, and our longest running patron, Mr. Metal Dan. All right, let's get into the episode right now. All right, guys, we got Rob Dukes, former Exodus vocalist, current Generation Kill vocalist. And don't forget about the Fragile Mortals project he did with Daryl McDaniels, DMC from Run DMC. That was good stuff, too. Anyways, he's all in on Generation Kill right now, and we are going to be talking about the new music that Generation Kill is doing with Rob Dukes, as well as other stuff, of course, Star Wars, just talk about life in general. Our good buddy Dan Lorenzo, Tom from Exodus, who's currently dealing with some medical issues, as we all know. So we're going to talk about all that good stuff with Rob and much more. So stay tuned for that. I did want to just say that, you know, once we get to 100 patrons on Patreon, we will do a bi-weekly video show. I will do a Mark Striegel bi-weekly video show that gets posted to the people on Patreon first and then goes out to everyone else a day or two later on YouTube. And it will be not me talking into the iPhone. It's not Mark in the minivan. It's not that nonsense. It is me giving you a highly produced show every other week. And, you know, we just got to get to 100. We're at 50. I think we can do it. I do believe, I know it's not going to be easy. It took a lot of effort to get to 50, but let's get to 100, guys. Let's do it. There's someone out there right now who can afford $2 a month on Patreon. Come on, man. $2 a month. You get a free podcast, a free bonus podcast every week. Plus you support what I'm doing on this show right now. Yeah, let's do it. And while you're at it, man, drink some Dash Vodka. All right, that's the business. Let's get into our discussion here. Yeah, so we did a live show. I was going to post that as today's episode. It was with Bobby Blitz of Overkill and Corey Glover of Living Color and like 20 other projects. But I'm like trying to download it from the people who record it. We work with like a production crew and it's like 25 gigs and it keeps crashing. So I think I have to drive over to Fairview with my hard drive, get them to lay it off, and then go pick up the hard drive and bring it back and, you know, get stripped the audio and all this type of stuff. So in the meantime, if you want to see it, it's up on YouTube. But you're not going to hear it here today. You will probably hear it next week. Hopefully I'll have it ready by then. I really wanted that to be this week's episode because to post it next week, it's like old and stale at that point. But yeah, there you go. I can't, you know, I'm working more than a full-time job right now, so I don't have time to like drive a half hour, drop the drive off, drive a half hour home, drive a half hour back and drive to pick it up, drive a half hour home. I don't have time. So I got to make time, but maybe this weekend or you know, later this week I can make that happen. We'll have that show up in podcast form for anyone who missed the video version of it. Again, if you can't wait for the podcast, go watch the video version on YouTube. It was a bit of a train wreck episode. I will be honest. A lot of times after the live show, I walk away thinking, yeah, that fucking kicked ass. That wasn't the feeling I had after this show. There was a lot of technical problems and it was just a little all over the place. I didn't feel great about it, but we got some good news, I think, from some good little tidbits, you know, exclusives from Corey and Bobby Blitz of Overkill. So, yeah, that's that. So, yeah, let's also mention that if you do a $5 a month Patreon thing, I'll send you out a Talking Metal t-shirt. Yeah, man, so it's busy, man. I'm working, I'm getting ready to move. On Friday, we don't have to wear masks in New Jersey anymore. Indoors, can't wait for that. Totally psyched to get rid of the mask. I'm vaccinated. I got my kid vaccinated, his first dose of Pfizer. He's 12 years old. My 10-year-old can't get vaccinated. He's not old enough. But hope all you guys are doing the right thing and getting vaccinated so we can get our concerts back sooner than later. I've heard from a number of you guys, and I love hearing, hey, Mark, I got my vaccine. I wanted to let you know you were an influence on me. I had very little side effects, like hardly any. Emily had some side effects on her second dose, but not bad. She was just like out of it for like a night and then woke up the next day fine. You know, I was a little tired. I felt like I had the chills after the second dose for like 3 hours, and then I was fine. It was crazy. My son had his first dose, absolutely zero side effects. So it's safe. It's smart. It's not political. Biden got the vaccine. Trump got the vaccine. I don't care who you voted for. It shouldn't have anything to do with that. It's the thing to do for all of us right now. And please do it so we can get our concerts going again. And I saw one concert. I saw Jordan Rudess. It was great interviewing him before that show and seeing him play. So much fun, really. Great, great time watching him sit at a grand piano and blow my mind. He's so good. So good. Jordan of Dream Theater is who I saw a little over a week ago perform live in South Orange, New Jersey at SOPAC. So let's go to Twitter, man. I threw this out there on Twitter the other day. And if you don't follow me on Twitter, it's at Talking Metal. Love to get some conversation going with you there on Twitter. And I just threw this out there today. I was listening to Coast to Coast by Scorps, man. God, such a great, great freaking song. Michael Schenker's on that one. And you can hear him all over that song. Coast to Coast. It's an instrumental song off the Love Drive record. And one of my favorite hard rock metal instrumental song. So I just threw it out there to the people on Twitter. I said, name a great hard rock instrumental, hard rock that can be metal, it can be rock, whatever. And here's some of the responses I got. Transylvania from Maiden, the debut record, underrated. Awesome, awesome track. Sam from Pennsylvania said that. You know, Sam, we used to have a super old version of the Talking Metal intro, like I'm talking like 12 years ago, where we used that song a little bit. Such a good tune. Frankenstein, Steve Hoker on Twitter, saying, who is at StarmanNJ. Frankenstein, the original is great, but the overkill version is amazing. Right on, Steve. Right on, Steve. Juan Cordero, at real Juan Cordero. I'm not sure how you pronounce your name, Juan. I've had some good interaction with Juan on Twitter, and he says, Switch 625 off of High and Dry by Def Leppard. That is a great one. I love that tune. I love that tune, Juan. And it is really one of the only deep cuts, if you will, in Def Leppard's set list nowadays. I mean, because it's kind of a deep cut, you know? I mean, your average soccer mom doesn't know Switch 625, but I believe they play that so Joe Elliott can take a break, you know, because they don't really do straight out drum solo or guitar solo, but they play Switch 625. I always just call it Switch is for shorts. And Joe Elliott gets a little break, you know. So that's one of my favorite parts. No disrespect towards Joe Elliott, but I love when they play Switch 625 in concert. So good call on that one. And a lot of other great responses that you can check out on my Twitter feed. The Ultra Violence by Death Angel. Orion by Metallica said Nobel Prize. Mike Noble, Mike underscore Noble. Good one. And a lot of really good Sparks by The Who. I like that. Steven threw that one out. Rick said Starship by Ace Frehley. Nice. Another person said Switch 625. Yeah, that's a good one. YYZ, of course. You can't go wrong with that. Into the Arena. Paul said that. Yeah, so much good stuff. Mr. Scary, Dokken. Great stuff, guys. I love corresponding with everyone on Twitter. Another one I did recently was name a song. What did I say? Here, I'm looking for it. Name a great song about aliens or UFOs. We had some great response on this. Alien Frequency by Big Elf, featuring Mike Portnoy on drums, was my choice for that. A few of the others, and you can read this on my Twitter feed. Dead Sky Dawning by Hypocrisy, and that was a response by today's guest, Rob Dukes. Jeremy Weltman said The Carpenters, Calling Occupants of Interplanetary Craft. I didn't know this song, Jeremy, and I went and listened to it. I love it. And it's not, don't be embarrassed. It's pure cheese, but it's fun, man. That's a great tune. And I was so glad you turned me on to that. I've listened to it like three times since then. Inner Paths to Outer Space by Blood Incantation, said Drake, which is at God Eats Lambs on Twitter. Dan Metal Dan said Rock Goddess, The Visitors Are Here. I went back and listened to that. I hadn't heard that in a very long time. Dan Metal Dan, great call. Who's Behind the Door by Zebra. I didn't know that's about aliens, but I gotta pay attention to the lyrics on that. And a lot of great responses coming in on Twitter for that. Agent Steel, somebody said Hangar 18, of course, right? Unstoppable Force was the Agent Steel one. Somebody said Love Walks In by Van Halen. That's about aliens. Wow. Okay. Did not know that. You learn something new every day, huh? So great always corresponding with people on Twitter. Again, my Twitter is at Talking Metal. My Instagram is at Talking Metal. There's also another like Instagram where I post pictures of my kids, which is a private account. But of course, if you request to follow me and you look halfway normal, I usually grant you access to that. So that's it. Let's do this. This is Rob Dukes, a guy I met way back in 2007. I want to say, yeah, I think 2007, man. And we jammed Metallica on my old TV show, Talking Metal on Fuse. and Tom Hunting was helping out with Rob with the vocals, and John Astronomy was playing drums. So yeah, what a great memory. And I have to say, he's been a friend ever since, man. We did a interview with him at a bar, the Circus Bar. I know John has interviewed them once backstage at an Exodus show. I think I may have been, done that too. I've interviewed Rob at the Gibson Showroom. So many great interviews. And I do believe he's one of the most frequent guests on Talking Metal. He may hold the record for the most interviews, you know, with one specific person. I would, if I had to guess, I would think that is Rob Dukes. There's a couple other, like Dan Lorenzo, who probably come close, but I'm guessing it's Rob Dukes, because he's on, you know, at least twice a year, I feel like, and sometimes more, maybe, and he's always welcome. He is a member of the Talking Metal family. He is a former member of Exodus. He is a current member of Generation Kill. He is smoking a cigar, and the room he's smoking the cigar in is a little noisy, but we can still hear pretty much everything he says. So let's check out this interview right now here on Talking Metal, Mr. Rob Dukes. Hey, it's Mark Striegel of Talking Metal. You're welcoming back to the show one of our most frequent and favorite guests, Rob Dukes, who is checking in from Arizona with a cigar. What kind of cigar are you smoking, Rob?
I am smoking a Black Label Trading Company called the Morphine.
The Morphine. Wow, it sounds heavy duty, man.
It's a good cigar, man. It's I'm celebrating this weekend, so I'll smoke some good cigars this weekend.
Yeah, and you told me what you're celebrating. Yeah. We might get into that a little bit later, but I'm celebrating because Generation Kill, man, you're releasing new music. There is a new record on the way, but let's talk about what just came out. A new music video, a new track, Never Relent, which reunites you and who? Tell us.
And fucking Gary fucking Holt, man. Yeah.
It sounds amazing, man. The track is so good. How did this come about?
Yeah, thanks, man. So we completed like 4 or 5 songs. It took us a while, man. I know it's felt like it's been forever since we released anything. So we went through this process where we were creating songs and then we'd throw them away and be like, nope, not good enough. And then, then we'd move forward and we kept doing that. And then finally we fucking have 10 songs that we're really stoked with. And, got some really cool guests and Gary was the first one. I was like, hey Gary, man, do a solo for me. And he's like, okay. It took like 6 months before he was touring and doing shit. And then this is pre-pandemic. And then he finally had we got some studio time and we got it done, man. And he fucking killed it. You know what I mean? So the solo is fucking perfect for the song. It's one of those songs that we kind of it throws back to the Exhibit B Exodus kind of style. That was the not on purpose, just this way it unfolded, you know.
I thought it was very Duke's era Exodus myself, you know, when I heard
it was, you know, we're like, all right, we're gonna go super fast, lots of double bass, and it was just the album opener. I'm like, okay, we gotta fucking come out of the gate just slamming people on the face with a shovel, and that's what we did. So
no pun intended there with shovel-headed kill machine.
So from there it just we kept, you know, Zeus was kind of we weren't with Zeus in the room, so we were just flying him files, and he was basically just like, yeah, just keep on this path, just keep doing this. So we did a couple mid-tempos. One of the things that me and Zeus talked about, he goes, you know, the album We're All Gonna Die, he's like, dude, it's a fucking stellar album, but you got a little weird on it, and you got a little, not artsy, but he was like, just, dude, one of the things you might want to focus on is just banging ahead, just fucking just go boom, boom, boom. And that's kind of what we did. We kind of left the arty stuff out of it, and, we can travel down that road when we choose. And it wasn't for any specific reason. It was just that, you know what, man, we just want to go out and fucking just just write a fucking nasty, mean fucking record that we liked. So we kept doing songs and then throwing them away, starting over, like writing stuff and completing it in pre-production and going, next. It's like it
was. You set the bar high for yourself.
Yeah, it was like building a hot rod. You know, I mean, when you build a hot rod, the wheels are key. It's like the first thing you do, and then you build the car. And I've known people bought wheels and, you know, spent $1,000 on them, put them on the car, and went, nope. Start over, got rid of them, started new ones. And that was the same kind of thing we were doing. So each song went through like high scrutiny, and it's coming to me. It's been an incredible process.
Absolutely.
You know, the guys just going through it, and everyone's on the same page. Everyone's kind of like totally on board. And when we would get done with something, we're like, yeah, we're not going to use that. Nobody's feelings were hurt. It was like, okay. Cool.
Right on. Now, Rob, when you say it went through a lot of scrutiny, is that from the band internally, or was Zeus involved in kind of scrutinizing the songs, or who was actually weighing in on the songs?
Me. Yeah. I was doing it. I would just be like, it was me, basically. I'm not going to put that on anyone else. And everyone else, they were all stoked. They were like, yeah, whatever. And then, like, as soon as I'd be like, you know, and then I'd say my piece, and they'd be like, fucking fine. All right, let's do something else. And then there wasn't any weirdness. It was just like, okay, you're driving the ship. We're cool. Let's just do it. You know what I mean? And we're going to, everyone, yeah, it was fucking, you know, it's a band, dude. It's a, you know, it's a democracy, but it's also not a democracy. You know what I mean? It goes both ways. And there's a, you know, and the main philosophy that we had was whatever best for the band, whatever best for the album, whatever best for the song. That's what was unfolding. And whenever there was something a little bit, and normally, listen, it wasn't the guys. It was either my performance, or it was just, you know, here's the bar, and we're either gonna top it, or we're gonna stay level, but we're not gonna go below it. And that's kind of what was driving the whole thing. And they were cool with it, man. It was cool. I mean, look, we weren't together. It was like because of the pandemic, we recorded everything separately. No one was together, and it was just kind of weird. But we somehow, you know, you've heard the title track, the first track, and it's there's a cohesiveness there. Like you can't tell that we weren't together, you know?
Right on. Now, Rob, you said the title track, Never Relent.
It's not the title track. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. No, yeah. I was going to say, I have single, down. Yeah. So the album is going to be called MK Ultra, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Cool. And the first single, Never Relent, featuring obviously Generation Kill, but also Gary Holt. You mentioned special guests, plural. So there's other people who will be involved on the record.
Yeah.
Anybody you can talk about, or not quite yet?
John Joseph came on and sang with us, man. John Joseph from the Cro-Mags and Blood Clot. We wrote a song specifically with him in mind, and we wrote it about a year ago, and I wrote lyrics for it, and then I threw them away, and then I went in and I wrote new lyrics, and then I went in the studio, I sang it, and then I threw them lyrics away, and then finally I sat one night and it just hit me, boom, and I wrote the lyrics and over a weekend, and then I sent them to John, and I sent them the song, and he was like, I'm in, fucking A. And then like a week later, he went to the studio and fucking just killed it. I mean, it's just so cool I'm fucking honored. It's fucking John Joseph, man. It's like on my album.
Right.
It's fucking killer.
Legendary.
And we're all just fucking stoked, man. Like, couple of guys were able to be there when he did it. I wasn't even able to be there. I saw the video and I spoke to John a lot on the phone. And so we were going back and forth, and And then he wrote this killer post, you know, that he was, that the lyrics are great, the music was great. He was so stoked to be, an honor to be a part of it. And it was just, you know, we're like blown away. We're like, dude, you're one of our fucking heroes and you're on our record.
Wow.
You know, how fucking cool is that?
So, yeah, that's great.
Yeah. And a couple of the others I'm going to keep for the surprise. So,
okay.
But yeah, John's in there.
Yeah, right on. And what's the plan? The full length is coming soon, and will there be more singles released before the full length? When's the what's the schedule for releasing this?
So the first single comes out next Friday, May 28th. Is Never Relent with a video, and the single drops like on all the, you know, all the media, and then June, at the end of the month, there'll be another single with a video. And then July, there'll be another single with a video, and then the album will drop in August. So, but it could be September. I can't, like, nothing is set in stone. We're trying to tidy up all the ends and try to make it all come together. And we have some final things we got to do, but we're so close that we're like, okay, we got 3 months to kind of finalize the artwork
right.
and some of the other stuff. So,
okay.
Anyway, yeah.
So Never Relent comes out, you said May 28th?
Yeah, next Friday.
Which is next Friday. Okay. So we will be posting this interview, Rob, on Tuesday, which means this coming Friday, when you're listening to it, guys, is the new single, Never Relent, featuring Gary Holt by Generation Kill. It is a brutal, brutal listen and just so good. And again, it took me right back to your era of Exodus. It just had that feel, and I don't know if it's, I don't know. And just to see Gary's name and hear his solo attached to the song. Wow. So good.
Yeah. So we, you know, Gary, I don't think we wrote with him in mind. Just when we were done with the song, I was like, you know, fucking Gary would be killer on this. So I called him. He was like, yeah, no problem. And, you know, because of his schedule, it took about 6-7 months before he actually did it. So the song's been done a while. And then we did the video. And then.
Yeah, he's not in the video, though.
So we started doing the video like a year ago, like last May or something. I flew out to New York during the pandemic. It was kind of a nightmare, but we went and did it. You know, and Gary hurt his elbow. He has like some kind of injury to his elbow. And so through all this time, he was trying to get it done, but he couldn't get it done. By the time we were done with the video, he was like, he couldn't play for like 3 or 4 months. Like he wasn't able to even play guitar. And he was just trying to heal his elbow because he's got to go do, you know, he finished a record. I think during the record, it like inflamed his elbow. So we just never got him in it. And it was like, whatever. I mean, the videos are kind of nonsensical. Like they go out on YouTube and it's cool, but people are just going to be listening. They're not going to be watching anyway. So his performance is fucking killer. And so, you know, he's not in the video, but it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, I think people watch videos. They might watch it a minute or two, or I mean, I don't watch them that much. I mean, unless they're funny. Yeah. You know, unless they're interesting, I'll watch it. But I honestly, I mean, from my own experience, I mean, I'm just speaking from my own personal experience.
Right.
I'm more of a just put it on and let me listen to it. You know what I mean? So,
right on. Well, the video does look great. You guys did a great job of that. And
yeah, cool, man. Yeah.
I hope people do watch it and listen to it. It is just a great song. And let's talk about Exodus. I don't know how much you're in touch with Tom, but your former bandmate from the band, we've been hearing reports on his illness and his battle against it. I mean, pretty serious stuff. Are you talking much with Tom?
Yeah, I spoke with him yesterday, man. We were talking basketball and hockey yesterday. So I've been speaking with him pretty regularly, texting constantly. And
so I know you were real close with Tom.
I was. Me and Tom were, you know, brothers, man. You know what I mean? Shit went awry for a little while, but you know, that's all in the past and it is what it is. But me and Tom were close. I think Tom is the reason I got my shot in Exodus. He was one of my biggest fans when during the rehearsal process and during the initial introduction into the band. I mean, Tom was one of my biggest fans, and You know, he was my buddy, man. We hung out on tour a lot. We did a lot of shit outside playing. We did a lot of, you know, just we'd run around cities and go eat cool food and, you know, just did a lot of fun shit and a lot of good laughs. And anyway, so when I found, when he called me and told me, you know, he's been in really good spirits, and I love him to death. I'm actually going to go see him in a couple weeks. I'm going to fly up there on a weekend and go hang out with him. I was going to surprise him. And so me and his wife were talking, and we were going to, I was just going to show up and then go to a restaurant. She was going to take him out to eat, and then I'd be sitting there. But because of his chemo, I kind of felt that I needed to talk to him about it and work it out. So I'm actually going to go up to his house in the mountains, and I'm going to spend a weekend up in the woods with him and have fires and fucking hang out and bullshit and talk and hang out. Yeah. So I'm going to go.
That's awesome. I know he is a fighter, and I read a headline today that he wants to play with Exodus during mm-hmm. the Psycho Vegas show, which I'm not sure when that is. This fall, is it? I'm not sure.
Let's see. I think it's September.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's September. Dude, he's a tough motherfucker, man. He's going to be fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Cool. Very cool. And there was some new music. You every now and again, you drop a new track with Dan Lorenzo, cover tracks. There was another one that I think just dropped, right?
Yeah.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah. We did. So Dan Lorenzo is my buddy from New York. He was in the band Hades. And you and I and him, we did Snowblind with John and Ron.
One of my favorite talking metal jams, possibly my favorite one out of all.
It's possibly, of all of them, it sounded incredible. It was fucking fun to do, you know. We did it over at the Gibson Studios, right?
The Gibson Showroom, which isn't there anymore. Yeah. That was the old Hit Factory, man. I heard it's condos now.
Oh, really? Fuck, that sucks. So that, you know, from that time on, me and Dan had always talked, and then he hit me up for now and again, and we talked, and then one day we just had the time to, hey, let's do a couple of songs that we like. And so we've done a couple Kiss songs. We did Strange Ways. That was fucking awesome. That was fun. Actually, John played that for Ace, which I thought was fucking great. So we did that. Recently we did Metal Gods by Priest.
Yeah.
And you know, he's always sending me fucking Halford songs. I'm like, dude, are you fucking nuts? I can't sing fucking Halford, man. Come on. So anyway, he sent me that one. I was like, all right, cool. And we did some Sabbath, and we've done some AC/DC and just.
Yeah, I thought you did a great job with Metal Gods, though. It was a fun listen.
It was cool. Yeah, it came out good, man. I was happy with it, man. Yeah. So, and we're plugging along, man. We're gonna try to do some originals and I start a new job on Monday
Man, you were telling me off air about that. Congratulations.
Thanks, man.
Tomorrow.
So yes,
we're recording this on a Sunday, and Rob starts a new, brand new job tomorrow morning.
Stoked, man. I'm gonna be restoring a Porsche 911, a 1966.
Wow.
Porsche 911.
Man.
So I'm upgrading from Volkswagen to Porsche. So when I have time. So now I'm actually going to be working different hours. So I'm going to have more time for music and more time to tour and stuff. So I got this position. It's going to allow me to serve two masters, man. You know, like I've battled for a couple years now. My job was 5 days a week, you know, 8 hours a day, sometimes more, sometimes a little less, but it really became harder to focus on music. It was hard to, you know, get home at 7 o'clock at night and then, you know, got to be in bed by like 10, 11 to get up to go to work the next day. And it was really hard to focus that creativity and that harness that energy to do that. And, so this new job is 3 days a week with 4 days off. So it's going to allow me to spend more time serving my other master, which is music. And me and the owner talked, and we both had an understanding of what we needed from each other. So it worked out in everybody's best interest. And You know, it's cool. It's because I'm a musician and I want to play music, and I don't have a lot of years left to do this, man. I mean, fuck, I'm getting old, man. I don't want to, dude. Might bang my head for a video, dude. I was fucked up for 3 days, man. Like, fuck. Right. Yeah, but I love playing live. I'm a very aggressive live, so I want to. If I have the opportunity to go out and play live again next year, or later this year into next year. I want the opportunity to do that because life, you only live life once. So
yeah,
I want to be able to do that. And the new job is going to allow that. Like I can go on tour if I have to. And,
right. So. And is that something Generation Kill you foresee them doing with the release of the new record? You guys would be out on the road touring.
Yeah. We're talking with a booking agent, and we're actually vying for a couple of tours. I don't want to say anything yet because nothing's in stone. So, but where it looks like we might have the opportunity to go to Europe later this year, and then maybe the States early next year with a couple different tours that are rolling through, and just be able to go out and establish a touring schedule and go out and do a few things here and there.
So, and I think it's awesome that you recognize that that life isn't forever, man. Because I do interviews with people, and there's some guys I talk with. They're in their mid 60s and they're like, well, I feel like, I got to do it now or never. But they should have thought of that 15, 20 years ago, because it's a limited amount of time we have on this earth. And if anything, COVID for me is just like put me in a mindset that I want to live life to the fullest now. I mean, I'm not, it's just like there's no time to wait. No time to wait.
Yeah, I've been focusing on, basically just what do I need? Because I, for a couple of years, I was unable to, like I said, and not begrudging my former job, but it was a company you work for. You know what I mean? And they, but I wasn't, I kind of lost myself in the time and the money and making my bills and all that. And I just found it,
Yeah, I hear you.
Like I get home at 7, you have 3, that gives me 3 hours to do everything I needed to do for myself. And it just wasn't enough. And I walked away from it. And
good for you,
luckily,
man.
And I luckily found something else that I can go do. And like I said, I serve two masters. I love working on cars, man. I love being that part of that industry. I love doing it, man. And I love music also. I think so. I serve, two masters. So.
Well, again, the taste that we've gotten of New Generation Kill music is incredible, and we are looking forward to everything you guys have coming down the road. And real quick, before I let you go, what about the comedy? You doing anything with the comedy now? Is that still happening?
So before COVID, I was starting to do stand-up, and I had done it in Phoenix at like 3 or 4 different places, and I was doing it regularly. And basically, I was just telling tour stories and fucking making jokes and, just being myself. And when COVID hit, everything closed. So I haven't done it since last March, which was a year and couple months ago. Comedy stores are all the comedy places are starting to open up. A few of them closed down and went away forever, so like there's other ones popping up. I am gonna go do an open mic in like 2 weeks. I signed up for it, so I'll let you know. I'll keep you posted. Right. But that one in a while, so I'm probably gonna suck, but whatever, man.
That one story you told, where you took the massive shit. Do you remember that? That story?
Yeah.
That was funny and disturbing at the same time. But God, like every few weeks, that story pops into my head for no apparent reason. So it made an impact on me. Yes.
Well, yeah, because you're a fucked up individual, Mark.
Yeah,
so,
that's probably the case. Yeah.
So let me ask you a question. So,
yeah.
Where are you in the Star Wars universe?
Well, I watched the Mandalorian season two. We watched that twice. I watched it once just with my wife and then once with my boys, and loved it. I'm excited for Kenobi. You know, I'm really, I guess it's, I'm hearing only 4 episodes. I don't know if that's been confirmed, but whatever. I'll take whatever they have to give with that.
And
I hope it's more, but if it's 4, that's cool, man. But I really, really feel like The Mandalorian has just really turned things around, you know, and it is made for the fans. And as much as I like, you know, I'm not one of these people who hate the J.J. Abrams stuff or the new trilogy. I actually like it a lot, but I do think there was something about those where they were trying to update it and take it to the, you know, a contemporary place. And I respect that. Whereas The Mandalorian, I feel like, is all about old school Lucas. You know, we go back to the way he edits it and it's cut, and the dialogue, it's so Star Wars, you know, 1980 or whatever, the original trilogy, 77 to 83, I guess, was Jedi. But
I agree with all that. I agree with everything you said. I think that did you watch the Mandalorian thing? It's on Disney Plus. They have like a documentary while they're making it, and
I saw that on there. I haven't watched that.
They interview.
I need to.
Dude, it's fucking awesome, because you realize that the people that are making this are you and me. They know, they know so much more. I mean, the one producer guy knows he knows more than, it's like he knows more than fucking Lucas. It's fucking crazy how smart this guy is and how invested he is in this. And he's the main producer and with Favreau. And it's just, all the directors are killer, and they all come from there. And it's just, I mean, I think it's going to change the way they do things going forward, including how they're going to do more solo stuff and how they're going to do just more movies. And I think it's going to change the game. And very impressed with how they've, I was hoping, I knew that Disney wasn't going to ruin it. I knew that, that Lucas wouldn't let it go into the wrong hands. And I think he's done a lot of the right moves, and really, really happy that I get to watch that. And new Rick and Morty season in June. Stoked for that.
Yeah.
So
we're watching Mayor of Easttown. Have you seen that yet?
I haven't.
It's good.
So I haven't watched TV in like a month, because I've been studying Porsches. So I've been reading and watching video for the last 2 weeks, just thinking about Porsche information and trying to digest as much as I can. Upgrading my intelligence level on that, those cars, because I've been working in Volkswagens for 6 years. I'm upgrading to the Porsche world, and I'm just gonna focus on this, and then the record is gonna take care of itself, and then those paths will cross, and I'll be able. So I haven't indulged in anything except I did watch that documentary on Star Wars, because I was falling asleep, so I put it on.
Right.
I ended up watching the whole thing and grossed in it. But
I should send you a link to one of our recent episodes. Charlie from Anthrax was on, and he was talking about Star Wars with me. Charlie Benante loved the Solo movie. What did you think of it?
I loved it, man.
I thought it was good too.
I had people go to me, he's still Harrison Ford. I'm like, fuck out. Like, come on, man.
Right.
When I turn those movies on, I'm fucking 10 years old. Shut the fuck up. Like, I don't care. Like, I just, you know what I mean? I suspend complete disbelief. So I thought it was fucking great. I love the actor that did the movie. I thought Chewbacca and him, how they met, was fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
I thought that was such a great story. And, you know, I mean, it was the only misstep that I thought that they have taken was, actually, I thought it and then I changed my mind on it. I loved Rogue One.
Yeah.
I don't think they've messed up on anything. And I think,
okay.
Maybe on episode one, the 2 and 3, the love story part of it, I can do without, but whatever, man. I mean,
yeah.
Whatever, man.
Right on. All right, Rob, we're going to let you go, but we are totally psyched for the new Generation Kill music.
Me too,
MK Ultra will be the name of the record later this year. And in the meantime, we have the single dropping this Friday with Gary Holt, Never Relents, right?
Yep, that's it, bud.
Awesome, awesome, cool.
I appreciate your giving me,
cool. All right, Rob, take care.
All right, bud.
Big thanks to Rob Dukes for joining me here on Talking Metal. We're going to talk with Britt Lightning of the band Vixen coming up on a future episode, and there's a lot more to her than just Vixen, so stay tuned for that. We got, again, that Talking Metal live stream in podcast form coming your way on this feed, too, and that's about it. I got to go put my kids to bed, and Talking Metal Tuesday is when we post the podcast. Every Tuesday. Sometimes it's at 6 in the morning on a Tuesday. Other times it's at 11 p.m. on a Tuesday. But sometime within that 24 hours on Tuesday, I will try my darndest to get the podcast to you guys. And I got to tell you, it's not always easy. Sometimes it is easy, but it's not always easy. And I don't mind because I love it. And I know you guys love it. And that's why you support me talking to me on Twitter, tweeting out the guests you hear on this show, letting them know you enjoyed the interview, leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, or supporting us on Patreon and getting all that bonus content that only the 50 people on Patreon get to hear. And man, I have numerous people, they tell me that's the best thing you do, Mark. And the only thing I can think is because I don't give a fuck. I curse, I go off on people, I let loose, man. And you know why? Because I feel like no one really listens to it. What, if 50 people support me on Patreon, maybe half of those listen to it? So I do get a little rambunctious on there. Sometimes Victor and I, you know, go off a little bit. Sometimes we go off on each other. Sometimes we, have a little spirited debate, if you will, but it's always fun. Victor Ruiz is almost always the co-host on that show with me. So check it out. That's called the Mark Striegel Podcast, available exclusively to our patrons on Patreon. Anyone who pays $2 a month gets that every week, every Monday. All right, guys, take care.